Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And I am Jeff Jackson.
Hey, Jeff, good afternoon.
And to you, Brian, how are things on the East Coast?
We're starting to see everything burst into life. All of the leaves are coming out. My yard is, I got this dogwood tree in my front yard that is amazingly white in the middle of, this bright green lawn. And I am just, it's going to be a while before the honeymoon of moving to New England is over with.
That's good.
These four seasons are, every season's a new surprise being a, being in South Florida for the last 25 years where, you had rain and heat and rain and heat.
For sure.
And so you're in San Diego back, your travels are over, but you'll be on the road soon again. What?
Yeah, be on the road again. Just got back from, Dubai in the Middle East about a week ago. And then I'll be headed back east, actually sort of out in your direction to Philadelphia and then the DC area. And right now, no international plans, international travel plans for the next few months anyway.
But well, that's good.
Yeah. So
I think, right?
Yeah, I think it's good. Yeah, yeah. I'm getting old, man. Those trips wear me out. I mean, this coming back from Dubai was like, it was brutal on the jet lag front. So I haven't had jet lag like that in a really long time. So I'm glad I'm through it. And it kind of makes me a little hesitant to do that again. But, I'll be itching to do it again in a few weeks.
Well, you take all the glamour out of world travel.
I know. That's what I do.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah.
So, what's on your mind today?
One of the things that's been percolating in my mind again is just the reality of, the Bible teaches that faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by reading. And as I've been going around and, meeting with folks here and doing what I do, so much of our walk with the Lord is based on the written word of God. And yet the reality of it is that 70% of the people on this planet, according to certain statistics, are functionally illiterate, meaning they don't have the ability to read, or they have the ability to read, but they don't understand what they're reading. And so it really has been percolating in my mind, this reality of, the importance of being able to make disciples and get the truths of God's word across to people that don't read.
Everything always goes back to the first days of when I came into contact with you in missions training. And I think one of the most profound things that I heard from you was that people in other cultures, they're not taught in a linear method that we in the West are, where we're given outlines and we're given bullet points and we're given multiple choice questions. And so we develop our communication around that kind of a process, and thinking in a linear direction is not a way that most of the world communicates.
They're concrete thinkers rather than abstract thinkers too. Sometimes we take for granted, because we put such an emphasis, as we should, on the written word of God and translating it. And it needs to be translated into every language, obviously. But the reality of it is that there's still, a couple thousand languages that don't have the written word of God in their language yet. And the beauty to me of God's word, and the one of the other evidences of it being truly the Creator's word, is that, as Paul said to the Romans in chapter 10, verse 17, he says, faith comes from hearing. He didn't write faith comes from reading. And so, I've often thought about that, and it's become crystal clear over the last few years why that is. Faith does not come by reading the word of God, as much as we should read it if we have the ability to read and we have God's word in written form. But if faith only came through reading rather than hearing, you've just locked out thousands of groups of people from being able to come to faith in Christ.
There has been, kind of a sub-movement within the missions world called the orality. I mean, what's the right term for it?
Yeah, orality. That's it. Orality, yeah.
Explain what orality entails.
Well, I think the whole orality movement sort of sprung forth from, partially from the reality of what I just, said about Romans. And that is that, a lot of the people that New Testament letters were written to and the Gospels, were written in Greek at the time, they couldn't read. So the epistles from Paul or Peter or John, they were read to the congregations because many of the people in the congregations didn't know how to read. And so a while, you know, I don't know how long ago it was, maybe probably 50 years ago when technology came to the point where you could actually record God's word in a form that was somewhat portable, you know, and easy to listen to, mainly when the cassettes were sort of the big thing in the 60s, the late 60s. Some missionary said, hey, you know, what if we started to record the word of God to give it to people that even though we may have taught them to read and given them a written language, they really don't learn by reading. And I think one of the contributing factors to that was some of the science that was taking place in America on learning and the idea that, hey, when the people that study these things, they came, you know, they discovered that, hey, most people, the majority of people are oral learners rather than visual learners. So the main three categories are oral learners, visual learners, kinetic learners, meaning they learn by touch and feel and body movement and motion. And so, but the reality of it is most people, you know, the majority of people, I think, learn by hearing better than by reading. And so I think a lot of these things all sort of came together into this sort of perfect storm to say, hey, we've got to get the truth of God's word. God's word itself says faith comes by hearing, not from reading. So how do we take the truths of God's word and put them into an audio form, into an oral form? And the other interesting thing, and I really saw this personally, I experienced this, especially when I was in Nepal, working among, you know, a couple of different, helping with some guys that were working with Tibetans, is that most oral cultures, they actually, you know, learn what their cultural virtues are and so forth by stories, because they're very good. There's a storyteller known in the village, and that storyteller has a responsibility to pass on truths and virtues for their people and their culture, and people are attuned to sitting and listening to stories. And so I think the reality of how most people on the planet are, even if they can read, they probably still learn better by hearing. All these things came together and produced what we call sort of the orality movement.
So what does that mean for the way missionaries, what does that mean for how they communicate biblical truths? Is there something that needs to change? Is something changing?
I think there is some things changing. I think one of the things, again, kind of keeping it in the realm of oral learners and the reality that not everybody has access to the written word of God is, you know, what was birthed out of all this was one, sort of a new emphasis to not only, you know, translate the New Testament, especially into the language of different people groups, but to once it's been translated in written form, hey, let's record it. Let's record somebody who speaks that language as their native language. Let's record the Bible. So you have audio scripture ministries that were birthed out of all this, probably starting, like I said, with the invention of the cassette back in the late 60s. So one side of the orality movement is, hey, let's, wherever God's word has already been translated in written form, let's record it. Because even though people may be able to read the Bible now in their own language, they don't learn best by reading. They learn best by hearing. So let's get God's word into recorded form. And then from that, then sprang forth the what's called the storying movement. And the storying movement was, okay, we've got God's word and the New Testament and the story of Jesus and the book of Acts and all that. We've got it in written form. Now we've got it in audio form. Can we take stories, actual narrative texts from the Bible, and then use those narratives to help explain the truths of the gospel to people that either don't have the written word of God in their language or are unbelievers and have never heard gospel truths? Maybe the best way to communicate with them is using actual stories recorded in, you know, the word of God.
The emergence of technology is used strategically to make the Bible audio.
Yes.
And then also to tell the stories of the Bible.
Yes.
Is that what I'm under? Okay.
Good, yeah. I think technology is the thing that contributed, maybe one of the major contributors to the whole what we call orality movement. And sort of, so the word orality is sort of the umbrella under which audio scriptures and storying sort of navigate under the umbrella of orality. And technology, I think, is one of the things that pushed it forward. And, you know, technology is always changing. So, I mean, now you have people, you know, that don't know how to read, but they have cell phones in a lot of countries around the world. You know, they're much more advanced even with cell phone technology and accessibility than we are here in the States. So people that can't even read a lot of times have cell phones and they know how to use their cell phones. And now
they pick up an iPhone and they can swipe and scroll and
yeah.
And somebody that only knows how to open a book says, where's the instructions for this thing?
Exactly. You're like, kind of like me.
I need to read the instructions so I can understand. That's exactly how I am too.
And to me, it's interesting. And so technology, you know, there are these ministries like Faith Comes by Hearing and others, Talking Bibles and so forth, that have the audio scripture type ministries that have, you know, they figured out ways with technology where it's at to actually get God's word on somebody's flip phone in some remote part of Africa or Southeast Asia. And with a flip phone, they can actually listen verbatim to the word of God in their language, or at least in a language that they're familiar with, maybe the trade language they speak, because the Bible hasn't been translated in their heart language yet. And so these ministries are keeping up with the technology and then harnessing that technology to get God's word out there. And again, to me, the theological, biblical basis for that is believing, you know, Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing. We can get the truths of God's word out there in audio form so they can be heard. People can come to faith in Christ, even though they don't know how to read, even though the Bible may not have been translated in their language yet. It's radical stuff.
That is radical. And there's the English teacher side of me. I could hear my English teacher saying, well, you need to learn how to read. You need to learn how to conjugate a verb. You need to know how, you need to be able to underline the subject and circle the predicate. And, you know, they would say, we're not doing anybody any favors by not teaching them that stuff first. What's your answer to that?
Well, my answer to that is when your teacher told you all that stuff, you don't have to know how to read to speak and to be understood, right? I mean, we all learn to speak and understand and be understood prior to learning how to read and write.
Yeah.
And you can grow into adulthood and never learn how to read and be a very effective communicator, be understood and understand others without the ability to read. So I think, you know, that and again, why we would even think that is essential, important, yeah, but why we would even think it's essential is because we're from a literacy-based culture.
And the whole roots of the Protestant movement were around making the Bible available in the common language.
Right.
And so we have the written word of God put in everybody's hands, but you know, back in those days, the word of God wasn't being spoken in the common language, you know, so
exactly.
You know, something had to give. And, and you're right. It's got to give now too, huh?
And I think absolutely. And I think every language spoken on the earth should have the word of God in a written form. But again, that's a humongous task. And, you know, the three main ministries that do that all have that goal in mind to get the New Testament, especially translated into every language that's spoken on the earth. And of course, the main three would be Wycliffe Bible Translators, New Tribes, which is now called Ethnos 360, and then Pioneer Bible Translators. So you have those three ministries who their whole goal is to discover what every language is, and then put the New Testament, at least, into that written language. Then from there, you have the ministries like Faith Comes by Hearing, Talking Bibles, and Audio Scriptures International or whatever, that then take what's been translated, record it verbatim in the language, hopefully by a native speaker in that language. And then from there, you have the storying people who are sort of filling in the gap, doing the storying and orality type things, especially to people that either don't read or don't have the word of God, you know, already translated in their language. But it's this humongous task, monumental task, that God has sovereignly broken up to have different components all working towards the same goal, which is bringing people to faith in Christ. And the word of God is crucial to that, but not necessarily reading the Word of God.
I'm so fascinated with how every generation, you know, God just stirs them to find new and creative ways to bring His Word as far as that generation can take it.
Yes. Yes.
With the way technology is today and how it can be so packaged and ported and delivered, man, it's so easy to get the Word of God into so many people's hands. It's really, you know, what we're able to do now, 50 years ago, you couldn't even fathom it. Well, there are probably some people that had vision for it, but just, I mean, we're living in the days when every single person can hear God's Word.
Yeah, we really are. And it's amazing. I mean, and even on the translation front, you know, where computer programming is at now, where languages that don't have a written form now with the help of computers, these guys that do translation and know how to do it, you know, whereas before it was a 15-year commitment, now that speed, you know, of translating the whole New Testament, for example, can be done in, you know, 6 to 7 years. To me, it just speaks of God's sovereignty in the sense that technology is something that man created in the image and likeness of God. We create technology, and technology's ultimate purpose is to bring God glory and to get the truth of who He is around the world. Secondarily, oh, it's pretty good for doing business. It's pretty good for marketing. It's pretty good for, you know, communicating with other people. But God let mankind, even sinful man, He lets them develop technology that actually can be harnessed, should be harnessed for His glory. Yeah, it's exciting stuff. I mean, it's way out of some people's frame of reference when they hear this kind of stuff. But I think once you're on to the idea, like I had a group of pastors one time that kind of challenged me on my convictions about this after I had done an experiment in my own church when I was pastoring a Filipino church here in San Diego. Of course, all of my members knew, they could all read. Most of them were professionals. And I did this, I wanted to do this test, and it was sort of, you know, sprung forth from a program back in the day that Faith Comes by Hearing had. So I asked the Filipinos in my church to buy a New Testament in audio form in their own heart language, either, you know, Ilonggo, Cebuano, or Tagalog. And then for 40 days, if they would listen to 20 minutes a day for 40 days, starting at Easter Sunday, they could listen through the whole New Testament. So these are people that had the Word of God in English, could read it and understand it in English. They were professionals. And the number of those people who listened every day to the Word of God in their own language, verbally, orally, it blew them away. How much more they understood of the New Testament and how much clearer God spoke to them when they were hearing it rather than just reading it.
That's a pretty amazing little statistic.
It really is. It really is. And then what I did sort of to follow up from that, this is back when, you know, when you were down at the training center for the training, we used to interact with a lot of pastors down there and different ministries. So I went down there one time, and one of our, a missionary we worked with a lot, he gathered like 30 pastors, and I took down a bunch of New Testaments in audio, you know, audio New Testament Spanish. And I dispersed them to these pastors, and I said, hey, why don't you do an experiment similar to what I did with my church up in San Diego? And again, the feedback from that was phenomenal. So you had people that, yeah, they could read the Word of God, but somehow hearing it coming in their ears gave them a better understanding of who God was, and their ability to retain was greatly enhanced by hearing rather than by reading.
Well, you know, the bar is so low for consuming audio content. I mean, think about it. To sit down and read or even watch a movie, I mean, you have to schedule some time. And for most of us, the time that we have to read a book is usually at the end of the day, or you know, if we got up an hour earlier in the day, that would be productive. But for most of the planet, it's at the end of the day, and opening, as soon as you open that book, it's almost like you yawn.
Yes, exactly right. Yeah.
But if we incorporate audio, you know, podcasts or Bible tracks, or even the, you know, this Bible app is the most amazing tool I've ever used, probably in the last 10 years, this YouVersion.
Yes.
This YouVersion Bible, because you can listen to it, you know, while you're on the treadmill, while you're in your car, and it just makes, and, you know, because, you know, driving in your car or running on the treadmill or doing those things are such brain dead kind of activities, you're hungry for that content that comes in through your ears. I used to have a pastor that called them the ear gates, you know.
Yes.
That God's word was designed to come in through the ear gates, not necessarily the eye gates.
Exactly. Yeah. And we tend to think that's not serious, you know, like, wow, you really can't study the Bible seriously unless you can read. Well, I mean, that's got an inherent flaw in it. Most people on the planet don't read or can't or read and don't understand it. And we've limited it to your ability to read. It's just crazy.
You know, and a saying of Jesus just zinged into my mind, and that is that his burden is light. The burdens of men are heavy. And so anytime, you know, there's an easier way to consume God's word, there's this side of us that's like, no, it's not supposed to be easy. It's supposed to be a lot harder than you want to make it.
Yes.
But the word of God is, you know, Jeff, the more I live, it's the only way to live is to really understand in God's word, you know, where it's coming from, what the stories mean, what the narratives are about, mm-hmm. what Jesus was saying to his audience, understanding all of those things, and then processing God's word over and over. I can't think of another better way to live, honestly. And I hope that doesn't sound cliche because this is a Christian podcast, but I'm just so convinced of that.
No, and I think it's, even if it does sound cliche, it's accurate because, again, you know, and I'm sure I've said this on some, at least one previous podcast or whatever, if the word of God is what it claims to be, then it's going to give us an accurate explanation and picture of what is really real. And so as we live in the crazy times that we live in, and there's so much non-reality being treated as reality, the only way to stay anchored in what's reality is to be anchored in the word of God, because the creator has told us what's real, what matters to him, what we were designed to do. What we weren't designed to do, and the consequences of doing what we were not designed to do. So the way to interpret our reality, the world that we live in, and the way, you know, it, to try to understand it and give an explanation for it, the Creator's word gives us the most plausible, rational, reality-based explanation for the way things are.
You know, when I process God's word, I always am thinking, man, this has got to get out. This is such good stuff. I got to tell somebody this.
Right.
And it's so helpful. It's so useful. It's so just makes sense for life.
It sure does.
And making it easy to get into people's hands is really, you know, that's what missions is all about, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. Taking, you know, taking the truths of the eternal and true God and making them understandable to people that don't know him, and recognizing that those of us that want to see that God is, see that happen and are participating in it, you know, we're tools of God's love. We're expressions of God's grace to people that are stumbling around in the dark. And they don't need to be in the dark. We've been placed into their lives as light, and his word gives us the light, gives us the ability to see things the way they really are. And then because we can see them, interact with them properly. Yeah. So I'm, you know, I was just the last few weeks, it's just hit me again, the reality of, you know, this sort of fairly new movement of orality and just the different kinds of ministries that are springing forth from the reality that faith comes by hearing, not from reading. You know, one of the other things that when I first got onto this trail, Brian, years ago, was actually when I was out on the field working with fairly educated people, you know, in Cebu in the Philippines, but knowing some Bible translators that were out with tribal people. the idea that people learn by hearing better than reading. So you've had these incredibly faithful people like Bill and Donna Davis, who spent 30 years among the Southern Palawano people, basically translating the New Testament into the Southern Palawano language, but these Bible translators who would give 10, 15, 20 years, and the commitment level of these people. And they would always, back in the day, and they still do it today, but it's kind of changed a bit because of orality. But, if the literacy program didn't keep up with the Bible translators, and they usually didn't, because literacy workers, people that are going to teach people how to read and actually have to give them a written, the Bible translator gives the people a written language and then translate the Bible into that written language. If the literacy workers that's training the people to read, if they're not as faithful and diligent and they're not willing to put in the time, then what happens is the Bible gets finished in a written form, but nobody can read it. And so you've got this major gap. And then when this kind of movement started going, it was like, hey, when we finish a book in the New Testament or whatever, let's record it, because maybe the literacy program is not keeping up with the translation program. And even if we do teach these people to read, maybe their best way that they learn is orally, because that's the way they've always learned, orally, and they're oral learners. So even though they have the written word of God, maybe they'll still learn better by hearing rather than just reading. And that's what was validated in my little test in my church and with the pastors in Mexico.
We worked in the bush, and the only kind of audio mechanism we had were these little crank tape cassette decks. And so we would have to bring cassettes. And in everywhere we went, all the villages we went to, they loved to sit and take turns with the tape deck and listen to the Bible or Bible teaching, people telling stories of how the Bible works. And that was a huge social, component of the missions work that we did.
One of the things you learn is, again, we think I have my Bible, you have your Bible, and our Bibles are these personal things that I own, and I spend private time in the Word of God alone. Well, when you get into the orality movement, listening, because again, culturally, they're communal cultures, they're collectivistic cultures. So they would sit around in groups and listen to the tribal storyteller tell stories and pass on all the cultural virtues, of their people and so forth. So a lot of times what these, especially audio scripture ministries discovered was, hey, yeah, one cassette player with the New Testament on it, a group of 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 people will sit around and listen to it together as a group. The idea that I'm going to take this personally into my hut and just sit in there and listen to it by myself is like foreign to them. It's a group activity. I like to bang the drum for orality in this whole realm, because it's really out of most people's box when they think about global missions and so forth. They don't think about these kind of things. But I think there are things to think about. And when now you look at the technology available for getting God's word out in verbal audio form, and even in some places where the speed would be high enough where now you could do videos. The problem with videos, again, is they're a lot of times they're very culture specific. So the audio form, I think, is much more effective, which again goes back to the idea of faith comes by hearing, not by seeing. And then that kind of even ties in with Jesus says, blessed are those who believe but have not seen. Well, maybe one of the things they haven't seen is a written word of God, but they've heard it and they've come to know the Savior through that.
Thanks for listening today. This is just the first of a few podcasts dealing with the orality movement and missions. Make sure you check out the show notes. There are links to several of the organizations that Jeff mentioned as he talked about those pioneers in the orality movement and missions. In our next podcast, we'll have Trip Kimball on with us. Trip has employed an orality-based strategy for a few decades as he's planted churches and trained pastors in the Philippines. So make sure you catch up with us next time on Facilitating the Mission.